Good morning, everybody. We hope you're having a great day this beautiful morning. This is Jane Cormier, your host for WKXL Artful Living here on NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. And those of you, all of our wonderful listeners out there that listen to us, we have this month, this entire month, a real Candyland number of segments, programs that we're going to offer. And you'll know we started last Thursday with a singer named Addison Patillo. And we're continuing our opera singer spotlight with a gal from Albany, New York, Elizabeth Cohen. And Elizabeth, we first want to introduce you to our audiences and thank you for coming out. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So you told us that you're just getting over a cold.
Yes, unfortunately. That's part of being human, even for us singers.
Yes, and it's an awful thing for us singers because unlike instrumentalists, most instrumentalists, I should say, it's really hard to sing through colds. But you get really good at it when you have to make the gig, don't you?
100%. I mean, if you don't sing the gig, you don't get paid. So
I know, right? There's some stress there, isn't there?
Oh yeah.
always. So, you know what? You are from Albany, New York. Why don't you give us a little bit tell us a little bit about yourself, and then for our listening audience, you're going to have a treat because we're going to have one of the arias that are on Elizabeth Cohen's website, and she sings the Song to the Moon aria by Dvorak from the opera Ruzalka. And so what we'll do is tell us a little bit about yourself, set up the aria, and then we'll play it for the first segment.
So I'm from Albany, New York. I come from a little bit of a strange background, but in some ways I think a perfect background to create an opera singer. Well, my mother is a fine artist and my father's an inventor.
Oh, my.
So I come from the background that you do what you love, and if you work hard enough, you can make anything happen.
Of course.
And so I firmly, firmly believe that. And also that probably means that all three of us probably have a little bit of a screw loose. but you have to be a little nuts to do this career.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I started singing when I was 15, and it's actually a funny story. I had done musical theater in my school, and I had done a lot of youth performances, and I've always been a very goal-oriented person. So by the time I was in my freshman year of high school, I kind of was thinking to myself, maybe I'm not that great at the singing thing. Maybe I should focus on something else.
Oh my.
And yeah, and my my mom, who is in no way a stage mom whatsoever, mm-hmm. She heard about the Juilliard pre-college program. And the way we heard about that is I actually used to be a long distance swimmer. And one of the boys on the team, his older sister, was at Juilliard pre-college for harp.
Mm-hmm.
So she convinced me to go and audition for this. And I thought she was absolutely nuts. well, because at that point I had never had a voice lesson in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I proceeded to get 2 months of voice lessons to learn how to sing in a foreign language.
Wow.
Because up until that point, I had been trying to sing like Christina Aguilera.
That's a little different.
Oh yeah, a little different. And I remember I went in and I sang How Beautiful Are the Feet, Haydn Rüstlein, mm-hmm. and Say to Mommy.
And wow, very good rep.
Well, I thought this whole situation was nuts, and my mom actually bribed me with, you get to miss a day of school and you can go see Rent on Broadway.
Oh, my goodness.
And at the time, Scary Spice was playing Mimi. So, of course, I was sold.
Yep.
Ended up being one of about six people that they took into the vocal program that year.
Wonderful. That must have been exciting.
It was exciting and scary, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I actually was studying at Juilliard for about 6 months before I even saw my very first opera.
Wow. That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? Everybody comes to opera from, in my experience, there are so many different roads that people have taken that finally arrive at the art form of opera. I mean, myself, I would never have thought that I would have delved into that career because I was a tap dancing, Broadway loving, you know, belter. And, you know, you do what you can do. And then if it opens up another door that you go through, you know, like your mom and dad probably say, you got to go through the door and see what it is.
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And you are in the finals for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, which is happening April
28th. Yeah.
At 3 o'clock. And that's going to be at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. And anybody that would like tickets, it's at ccanh.com. You can get tickets right online there. There are very few left from what I understand. So we want everybody to be able to come and to see this event because the audience does get to vote. And they're going to have a little ballot. We're going to explain 4 criteria that we're listening for. And everybody will tally up a card. And we'll collect those cards by the, you know, at the end of the competition. I believe we have 11 singers. And we will... They are absolutely one vote. That's going to be one, maybe even plus, a vote for the singer. So it really will make a difference, you know, that the audience is there. So it'll be great to have you there. What are you singing for the competition?
I am going to be your comedic relief for the night. I'm singing It's My Wedding, which is an aria from a modern opera by Jonathan Dove called The Enchanted Pig, which I don't know if you've heard the fairy tale. It's an old Romanian fairy tale.
So tell us.
So the story is princesses are left at home while their father goes to war, and he tells them under no circumstances should you go into this locked room and read the book. Okay. So, of course, they go in and they read the book.
Of course.
And the older sisters, they find out that they're going to marry different princes. And the youngest sister, she reads that she is going to marry a pig.
Okay.
And, of course, she's horrified by this. And it turns out that the pig is actually an enchanted prince or a king, depending on the telling of it.
Okay.
And she has to go through many different trials to get him turned back into a prince.
Mm-hmm.
The opera takes some liberties with this, and the character who actually sings the aria that I will be singing, she is not the princess. She is not the witch who did the enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually the witch's daughter.
Ooh, okay.
And the witch has stolen the pig and drugged him into a stupor so that her daughter can marry the pig.
Oh, my goodness.
And they can take control of this kingdom. And she is kind of the epitome of a bridezilla, if you've heard that term before.
Sure, absolutely.
And another level, because it's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And she's the daughter of the witch.
Well, is she a good or bad?
She's neither.
But she's neither?
She's definitely spoiled, and she's definitely in the middle of having a conniption.
Okay. But does she know? She knows what her mom, the witch, is doing, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So she's participatory a bit in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I would just want to make sure I'm clear. You know what? It sounds like a fun piece, and I'm sure that the audience will enjoy that. Let's face it. New Hampshire is not full. Sad to say. With a lot of opera buffs, okay? It's a beautiful state. I love New Hampshire. And it's just, in my experience of 35 years here, you know, it's not a thriving metropolis for operatic productions. And while there are some people that will know the top 10 hits you know, the music, the melodies that we might be offering at that competition. The newer pieces will be brand new for our listeners. And this will be a great way for you to, you know, to compete, I think, because it's a really new piece, has lots of character.
Yes, it's not what you would expect. And it's also very unique in that I'm a lyrical cinco, mm-hmm. and the majority of, I'm not going to say it's the majority of, but a lot of the newer rep for opera higher lighter sopranos. So there isn't a lot.
Yeah, it's different for the bigger voice. You know what? We have to take a little break here. When we come up to the other side, Elizabeth, we're going to play your piece, the song To the Moon. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay right where you are, and let's have some beautiful music when you come back. Welcome back. WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. You are with Artful Living. Jane Cormier, your host today. And we have another wonderful singer who will be performing for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition on Sunday, April 28th. And this is one of the finalists. Her name is Elizabeth Cohen. And Elizabeth is actually going to set up a quick, give us a little summation of the aria that we are going to hear you sing, Song to the Moon by Dvorak. Tell us very briefly, what is this about?
It's basically the Czech version of The Little Mermaid. she is a water nymph.
Rosalka, right?
Yes, Rosalka.
Yes.
And she is in love with the prince, and she uses the moon to have connection with him. And she tells the moon to find him and to look into all of the houses and to see where he is and to tell him how much she loves him and to remember her from his dreams and to come to her. Mm-hmm. But the clouds keep blocking the moon and she keeps losing the connection. So that's the kind of panic you hear mm-hmm. in the background. And then they go away again and she's able to have that connection until finally the clouds overtake the moon.
Yeah.
And she just wants him to remember her.
Right.
And to come back.
Right. So it's just basically her trying to reinforce how much she loves him and to have him come back to her and not forget her. So we're going to listen to Song to the Moon right now, and this is Elizabeth Cohen, soprano.
Thank you.
Well, that was beautiful. Nice job. Where was that performance, Elizabeth?
That was with Opera Cecilia, which is a small opera company run out of Oregon.
Wow.
It's actually a young artist who started the company. It's a husband and wife team in their 20s.
Wow, good for them. Beautiful. So, you know what? Very difficult, folks out there that might not know this. It's sung in Czech. And it's not an easy language to sing in. Did you find it easy? Some people actually, Slavic languages, you know, they go with it pretty quickly. I always found it challenging. What about you, Elizabeth?
It's definitely challenging. that's the only piece I sing in Czech. And it was so it definitely was challenging. I think it would be a lot of fun to sing the role, and probably after singing the role, it wouldn't be as challenging, but
correct.
Anything new is challenging.
Yeah, and that's always true too. No matter what opera you're looking at, once you've played the role and you go back to the arias that you learned to try to get the audition, you know, to play the role, I don't know about you, but I always find, oh my goodness, this is so much easier than it was before. I don't know why that is.
100%.
That's so strange, you know?
You know, I went to grad school at Bard in the vocal arts program under Dawn Upshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to tell this story of, and I'm going to get it wrong. I know that she was in a traveling tour of Figaro, and she was in a traveling tour of Cosi.
Okay.
And one of them, they started at the Met and then did the tour. And the other one, they started doing the tour and ended at the Met. And they did a recording of each of these. And one of them, they started with the recording before they did the run.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, they did the run and then did the recording after. And she said that for her, going through all of the physical motions and just physicalizing the role in her body,
yeah,
just made it the easiest recording she ever did, which I think
isn't
is
that
saying
interesting?
Something.
Yeah, no, you know what?
It's photography.
Absolutely. I think it's so true. You know, we're going to have to take a break here. Elizabeth Cohen, soprano from Albany, New York. Good luck at the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition right here on April 28th, coming right up here in Concord. Best of luck to you, and thank you for joining us here on Artful Living. Okay, welcome back here, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Jane Cormier, your host here on Artful Living. And in our second half of today's Artful Living, we have the accompanist for the New Hampshire Opera Idol Competition, which is coming up April 22nd, 3 o'clock, at the Capital Center for the Arts, the Canton Room. And if you're interested in tickets, ccanh.com. And you can go right on there and click on Opera Idol, and you can grab your tickets. In the meantime, we have Molly Lozo, who is playing this competition for us, and we're thrilled to have her. Molly, hello.
Hi, Jane. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And I'll tell our listening audience, you know, we've tried twice. And one time the weather was against us. And the other time I had an emergency that came up. And so two times poor Molly was not able to get into the seat across from me here in the studio. So she kindly called in today. And you know what, guys? She's got the same sick that so many other people have these days. So I'm thrilled that she didn't make it a threesome. She didn't make it a third time out here, kid. So thank you very, very much for being with us. Molly is a great pianist. She's a great accompanist. She's a great gal. And we're thrilled to have her with us. Molly, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background as a pianist and accompanist?
Oh, sure. Let's see. Currently, I work at St. Anselm College in Bedford, mm-hmm. Where I teach piano. I teach some courses, music theory, history of rock and roll. But I also work with students in chamber music.
Beautiful.
And I also accompany students as well. So that ranges anywhere from vocal students to instrumental students, to students interested in classical music, to jazz, to pop. So I have a wide variety that I work with here.
Mm-hmm.
I also let's see. I've worked with Opera North up in Lebanon. I haven't done that. Excuse me. I haven't done that recently, but for a while, for 4 years, I toured with them. I did a lot of the school outreach show, so we played Menotti's The Telephone a lot, and that was super fun.
It is.
But I got to do a little bit of that. When I was getting my master's degree, I went to Boston University for that. I did a lot with the opera program there. I also played at the Tanglewood Institute.
Wonderful.
Over the summers for a couple of years. I worked with the singers there. I also did some of the instrumental accompanying. And I mean, my master's degree itself is in collaborative piano. So that is really focusing on how you work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just solo piano playing.
Right.
You know, of course, it's learning the notes and learning the music and all of that, but it's also coaching diction, right? And learning different languages and really learning how to work with the singer to bring out their musicality and their best musical selves.
Yes. That's probably the most difficult to find in accompanist collaborative pianists for the singer, is to find a accompanist who's 100% locked into what the singer is needing at that moment. That's the definition of a really great accompanist. And it's obvious you really care about your singers. I've seen you work with singers, and I've always had a good feeling when I walked out of the studio that it was an all-around good experience for everyone. And sometimes that's not always the case. You know, not saying bad things about anyone, but I think you have a good way with people. And that's, you know, secondary, of course, to your piano and music skills, but it all works and comes together. So.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Jane.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'd like to say, like, one thing that we really worked on and that I've really worked on is the collaborative pianist also has to sing the music, you know, like you have to sing it when you're playing it in your head. You have to know the diction. You have to know where the singer's going to breathe.
Yeah.
And I like to know, I don't know, like what my particular singer likes to do. Like some people need to go a little faster, a little slower. They need an extra breath. They're not feeling their greatest, or they're feeling awesome and they're going to hold a note longer. Like,
yes.
There is a relationship that needs to be established.
Totally.
You know,
totally. And once the singer feels that support, you get you usually get their best result,
right?
Because of that, they're not fighting for the tempi. They're not fighting to make the breath, because the accompanist just quietly asserts in the background where you need to go, and it makes all the difference for the singer. It really does.
Exactly.
So,
and I like to tell all my students here, like, I'm here to make you sound good. You know, like, I'll do my best to help you have your best performance. You know, and That's really important to me.
Yeah.
And especially, like I say, I work with students mostly, right, at St. Anselm College. So, like, they're not quite as polished as maybe a professional, you know, singer or somebody who's actually taking, like, lessons or has performed in an opera or anything like that. So
Good. Mm. So they have the best to work with and help them. You also play for the Concord Community Chorus here, right? Concord?
I played for them for 9 years.
My goodness.
It's been a couple of years since I've played for them. I worked under Chris Johnson and Jenny Cooper.
Right.
But a couple of years ago, I stepped down. And I know right now Liz Blood is playing for them, and she's fantastic.
Oh, yes, she is. So that's the Concord Chorale. I don't want to say the
wrong Concord name. Chorale.
Correct.
You know, what's interesting is starting in eighth grade, I started accompanying the choir at my middle school. And then I accompanied through high school, and then I accompanied the choir through college, and then grad school. I have had a choir job since eighth grade. And currently, I work at a church. I'm the music director at a church in Littleton, Massachusetts, and we have a choir. So I direct them every Thursday and Sunday.
Holy moly, where do you live, Molly?
I live in Milford, New Hampshire.
Oh my goodness, and you go up to Littleton?
Littleton, Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts.
So I go down.
Excuse me. That's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking way up north. I'm like,
oh, no, not,
wow,
not way up there. Massachusetts.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is I have played four singers since eighth grade, essentially.
Yes, absolutely.
So
it shows.
That also, you know, and I've been a part of choirs and you know, I realized in undergrad that I wanted to do more with my piano and with my music than just be a solo pianist.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends were singers in undergrad, and I would just go to their lessons. They'd be like, sure, I'll start reading this music. I'll play for you. But I kind of got thrown in to, like, this is how you work with singers.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with choir. I signed up for the choir in undergrad, and there's like 80 people in the class, and the director's like, okay, who's the piano major in here? And I like raised my hand, and he goes, you're going to be playing.
Oh my goodness.
So having to having to sight read the music, learn how to read multiple parts.
Yeah.
But again, it gave me so many skills to like be in tune with breathing and how like singing actually works. Being able to do it constantly, right? Working with people who are singing.
That's
has really
it.
Helped.
Sure, absolutely. You know what? There's nothing like being thrown in the deep end. You know, as long as you have that basic ability to swim, you know, usually for the people that experience it that way, you come out okay at the other end. And, you know, it shows in how you handle yourself. So we're going to have 11 finalists that will be singing and competing for prizes and some, you know, performance contracts at New Hampshire Opera Idol. And do you have any words for us? You know, are you looking forward to playing? Do you play competitions? How do you feel about it?
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Good.
First of all, I've been to the performance space a couple times. Excuse me. I've performed there and I've attended concerts there.
Oh, good.
And it's a really nice space. They're really lucky to have that space.
Yeah.
I'll have to say that I'm looking forward to, again, supporting the singers. I just want them to, like, do their thing, and I'll be right there under them.
Yes.
the list of music is just, it's very varied and diverse. We have some traditional, arias that I've played before and that are around, and we have some other really more modern ones, more, more diverse ones than the traditional repertoire. So, I'm looking forward to playing through everything.
Yes. You know what? The arias that they offered getting through the preliminary round were a couple of judges, Josh from the Barn Opera and Wayne Rivera from, very famous college, and I can't remember the name of it. Okay, I'm having a moment. That's okay. Anyway, they got us the preliminary round, you know, who was going to pass. And in finding how I would program it, I really wanted to offer a different... I did not want to offer all the gut busters and the ones that everybody knows. You know, I really wanted to have a diverse program. So that's kind of why we have some new stuff. We have English. We have some, you know, the normal top 10, two or three of those in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anybody coming in from the outside that might have a preconceived notion of what, if they have not seen any classical singing or music, you know, opera music before, I think that they might walk away with a real positive experience because it really doesn't leave you much time to get bored. There's no time to get bored.
Mm-hmm.
It moves right along, and hopefully everybody will feel good when they come to the competition. All right, so I hear my bump music. I'm going to take a little break here. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord and 101.9 FM in Manchester. And Molly, you stay right where you are. And listeners, you stay right where you are because we're coming back right after this break. Welcome back, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. This is Jane Cormier, your host for Art for Living, here on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and our new signal, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We want to thank you for staying with us. If you're just joining us, we are actually talking with the accompanist for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, which will be happening at the Capital Center for the Arts on Sunday, April 28th, a 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon concert. And this competition will have 11 wonderful singers from all over the United States getting together to compete for prizes and some performance contracts. Molly Lozeau, who is our accompanist, is our guest today. And in the last segment, she was telling us a little bit about her background and what led her to actually being an accompanist. And Molly was telling us you live in Milford and you work at St. Anselm College, right? So yes. It sounds like you do a real great variety of musicianing out there, huh? I mean, yes. You're a little bit everywhere.
I am a little bit everywhere. Super lucky that a couple of years ago I became full time here. I feel like being a professional musician can get a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
Trying to find a quote unquote steady job. So I do spend most of my time here at St. Anselm College and at my church job in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Beautiful.
I've also worked at Southern New Hampshire University here in Manchester for like a number of years before focusing here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like they had a brilliant music ed department. So. And then here at St. Anselm, we do have a music major. We have sacred music. We also have the flexibility of students to pursue more like pop music.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure contemporary. I'm not sure exactly what it's called now.
Whatever.
Not just like classical focus.
Yes.
There's opportunities here on campus. We have a coffee house, and I have several students who like play their guitar and sing their original music every Friday, which is fantastic. And it's neat to be able to work with those students as well as the more like traditional operatic voices that come through.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And, you know, St. Anselm is lucky to have you. And I think that the students that work with you are lucky to have you. So do you do much of the opera these days as part of your...
I actually don't.
Yeah?
I rely on gigs like this to keep me in the opera world.
Good.
I work with some... I coach some students as it comes up. One of your students, Ashley Noel Tarian.
Yes.
As things come up, if they need to do a little bit of coaching, you know, run through some arias or get some diction feedback, or if they're preparing for a competition or a recording.
Right.
Or with gigs like this. So.
Yep. Well, that's great. I mean, you know what? New Hampshire is not exactly a metropolis for opera, so that's not surprising. But you know what? I know that your musicianship allows you to really stretch, which is wonderful. You know, I have to say, there are times when I've worked with pianists, and I'm dealing with this now. I work at St. John's Regional School, and because I can basically get through a rehearsal, but I know I'm not a performance pianist, and I would be horrified to have someone like me play for me. So I assume I'm going to assume that somebody else would not want that either. Anyway, I like I said, I can get my kids' chorus through whatever they need in learning parts and in part of the accompaniment. It's all good. But when we do the performances, there's no way to get a piano into the church proper, you know, unless there's an amazing amount of money spent. And we could do the you know, electric thing, the electric piano part. But the truth is I can't play and conduct. And sometimes, you know, there's 100 and some odd kids up there. So I have a pianist, really great pianist, that plays my recordings. And there was one, though, that was very jazzy and very syncopated. And the accompaniment shows that maybe this genre isn't the most comfortable, comfortable thing for this pianist, because it's not where it needs to be. The syncopation doesn't like click properly, the stretching of it or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm sort of playing with that right now myself, but I back in my head yesterday, I was thinking, you know what, Molly could have played this, because I know that you can do that stuff, you know. It's but you know, once you are a classical artist, any kind of artist, like a folk artist, is not going to be able to play operatic rep. You know what I mean? An operatic artist is going to have a hard time sometimes, you know, singing pop music, right? We specialize in what our genre is. So, you know, when you have classical musicians that aren't comfortable with necessarily other kinds of music, it's not real surprising. But what is great is if you have someone that can. And that ability stands out on its own. So,
I understand that. I think that, I don't know, I definitely have a boon from teaching piano for so long. I've taught piano for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
And I get students who want to play like jazz. I have never taken a jazz lesson. It's on my bucket list. I really want to. But I have found music that is notated music in a jazz style. There are actually a lot of composers in the 1900s, like in the 40s and the 50s, that mm-hmm. were writing classical jazz, quote unquote.
Correct.
So again, it's like my students push me to new levels because, you know, I want to be able to get them music that they want to play, but I have to be able to play it first, you know, to make sure that it's, you know, appropriate leveled and it's good music.
Yeah.
So that also expands my repertoire, being teaching all different levels, all different age groups, all different musical interests.
Mm-hmm.
So that has helped a lot.
Yeah.
And I also think just like listening to music, like it doesn't have, you don't, I tell my students, like, you don't have to listen to classical. I'll ask them what they listen to and they get embarrassed. They're like, I don't listen to classical. I'm like, that's okay. You don't have to.
Right.
Like, here are some classical pieces that maybe you would like, but anything that has piano in it, like if you're just starting out on piano, like, go ahead and listen to pop music. Go ahead and listen to like whatever comes up when you're studying on Spotify. Like,
yeah,
it's just about exposure and, you know, appreciation for the genres.
Of course. And you know what, when you're starting out with young players or young singers, the truth is there would be no capacity for them to be able to envelop a genre that they haven't experienced. That would be really, you know, that would not be a good teacher, for instance, that would say, no, you have to listen to this. That's not how we grow. That's not how we flourish as creative artists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're smart. You're smart to do it like that.
I think it's worth like trying to find what engages each student. I really like to take an individualized approach. Like I have my, I created like my own teaching packet because I haven't found a method that I like. So I took a bunch of them and like mashed them together. Huh. And I like to really like get into what each student like wants to do with their music. Like, why are they here? Why are they taking piano in college if they're not a music major? But again, that pushes me to explore, you know, other avenues of musical repertoire and like how to get them interested and all of that.
That's wonderful. That's great. I love it. I think that you're real collaborative kind of person, which makes you an invaluable musician. So that's a
thank
good
you.
So anything coming up at St. Anselm for you as far as performances or anything that you want to tell our audience about?
Oh, sure. Unfortunately, we had an amazing performance last Thursday.
Oh.
That was our big performance. We have one every spring at the Chapel Arts Center here on campus. It's a really lovely art gallery in an old chapel. It's just beautiful. And we had an amazing performance. I'm just trying to think of what else is coming up.
That's okay.
We do have a chamber music concert that is featuring the students I work with in chamber music plus some other faculty members here. Wednesday, May 1st at 7 p.m. It's free. It's here at the Dana Center. So that's our next big thing coming up. But, you know, the semester's winding down. You know, the last day of class is early May. So we're almost done.
You're almost done. And then you have a free summer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. I know how that is. So you know what? If anybody was interested, you can go right to stanselm.edu. And at that site, you can pick up all kinds of stuff. They have an arts link, visual, performing, fine arts, and any information, you can just, you know, grab that. And as far as Sunday, April 28th, 3 o'clock, Molly will be joining us as the accompanist for New Hampshire Opera Idol 2024. You can get your tickets right online at ccanh.com. I believe that there are not many left, so we want to get those tickets out there to you. If you haven't bought one yet, go online and grab one. And this is going to be an event where the audience will participate. You're going to have a little ballot, and we're going to tell you what to listen for each singer. And you're going to rate your singers on like these four criteria. And we're going to collect all those ballots at the end. And you'll enjoy a cocktail at the bar while we're doing this. And then we will award the prizes, the cash prizes, as well as the performance prizes. Hopefully July will find us doing, because we had it set for like July, the end 14th, around there, three performances of Pagliacci. We might have to move it to the fall, that performance, but we're not gonna change anything yet. We're still scheduled for, I think, July 13th, 14th, and 15th for I Pagliacci. Molly, it was a thrill having you here. Thank you very much for coming and speaking to our audience.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jane.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And we're at WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Jane Cormier here. We're with Opera Idol. Osh, Opera Idol. We're with Art for Living. Who's doing Opera Idol? And we thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.